All right, Chavosai, good morning. Let us begin. A lot to do today. A magnificent and beautiful daf ahead of us. Today's daf is daf Zayin 7. We are picking up on Vav Amud Beis 6b. And we are picking up 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 lines up from the bottom. At the two dots of Amra Bichalba Amra Funa. Bosei Mamish. A magnificent, magnificent daf. We thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Teves, Shirley Elbaum, together with their sons, Avron, Sean, and Judah Elbaum, and their families for dedicating all of the Shirim and Joshos this month in memory of their beloved husband and father, Jerry Elbaum, and the creation of his 10th yard site. We hope that the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah, and the family a nechama. We also thank Robert Lilienfeld for dedicating Daf Yomi this week, of learning this week. In memory of his mother, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. And I both say with that, let us begin. This is actually quite beautiful. Whoever benefits from the Suda V'chasen and Kala, from a wedding feast, and does not contribute in some substantive way to the Simcha of the Chasen and Kala, over Bechamisha Kolos, violates ultimately again what we'll call Chamisha Kolos. I'm sorry. I started to go back up a couple of lines. I apologize. Rami Bichaba, I'm Rav Huna. Li'olam yehe adam zor b'tfilas hamincha. Excuse me. Right? Yeah, I saw your face, Mish. God, that look of disgust. Like, oh my gosh. I wouldn't cheat you. I promise. It just requires like a little, excuse me. Very good. So, I'm Rami Bichaba, Rav Huna. So, the Gemara says as follows. Thank you. Li'olam yehe adam zor b'tfilas hamincha. So, we'll say a person should always be careful with mincha. Why? Shehari Elio lo na'ana ela b'tfilas hamincha. Eliyahu HaNavi, his prayers and supplications were only answered by mincha. Now, what is this referring to? Shene'emar vayhi ba'alos ha-mincha vayagish Eliyahu HaNavi vayomer aneni Hashem aneni. So the Gemara says as follows. This is speaking about the dramatic showdown between Eliyahu and the Nevi Habal. So we'll say, this is in Malachim Aleph. So just to give you a bit of context here, the Jews are struggling with idolatry, as has happened a lot throughout the Nevi'im. The specific idolatry that they were struggling with was an idol called Baal. Eliyahu HaNavi has enough. So what he does is, he does something quite unconventional and dramatic, and he challenges the Nevi'i HaBaal to a theological showdown on the top of Har HaKarmel. Right, it's on the top of Har, literally the top of Har Carmel. So, what was the goal? The goal was they're each gonna put animals on an altar, and whoever could bring fire down from the heavens first, that is they will assert spiritual or theological superiority. But I say it's a dramatic story on a variety of different levels, because first of all, Eliyahu HaNavi is offering karbanos outside of the Mishkan, which of course is exceptionally dramatic, not done. And there's a number of different things that were what we call a Hora'a Shah. So Eliyahu HaNavi says, Aneni Hashem Aneni. Why two Anenis? Aneni Sheteri Esh Min Hashamayim. Answer me that a fire should come down from the heavens. Va'aneni Shal Yomru Maisek Shafimim. And answer me that people should not say it's witchcraft, sorcery. As well as you know what happens. So sometimes we have an incredible way of explaining away things. Right? It's not really Eliyahu HaNavi. It's not really God. It's Eliyahu HaNavi manipulating other forces. So Aneni Hashem, let me bring down the fire, but let them also believe that the fire is from you. So all this happened when? This all happened by mincha. By he ba'alos ha-mincha. I will say just, the postscript to that story is the Jewish people, when they saw that Eliyahu HaNavi was able to bring down the fire from the heavens, so they said, oh, Hashem u'alakim, Hashem u'alakim, they accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu until the next chapter. Right, until that chapter, which I will say is a general yisod that miracles don't work. Right? Miracles are beautiful, miracles are exceptional, miracles are fascinating, miracles do not instill faith. Hard work instills faith. Service of God day in and day out instills faith. Miracles are like fireworks. You see them, you say, ooh, ah, and then you go home and forget about them 10 minutes later. We see this. This was the problem with the generation of the deserts, who were surrounded by miracles on all sides. Miracles are wonderful to bolster faith, but miracles do not create faith. He goes on, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, af tilas arvis. Rabbi Yitzchak says, even Ma'ariv is very important. Shene Amar, tikon tilas ikdoros lefanecha, masas kapi minchas erev. Good. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, af tilas shachris. Even tilas shachris is important. Shene Amar, Hashem boker tishma koli. Hashem will hear my voice in the morning. Erach lach ve'atzapeh. So we'll say bottom line. All davening is important, right? Mincha, Ma'ariv, Shachris, everything is important. We'll say anyone who participates in the Suda of a Chassan and Kala and does not go ahead and rejoice with them, amplify their Simcha. Shabbos says, so remember again, we saw in yesterday's daf, how do you go ahead and, how are you Misameach Chassan and Kala? What did the Gemara say? Milim, right? Rashi, so we'll get to that. Rashi just said, b'milim, with words, that there's an element of dafka going over to the chassan and kala and amplifying their joy with your own words, with words that you say to them. Whoever doesn't do this, over bechamisha kolos, literally, again, violates five kolos. What does this mean? Shenemar, kol sasim v'kol simcha, kol chassan v'kol kala, kol omrim hodu as Hashem tzavakos. So we'll say, so the idea is that these are different kolos associated with weddings. So again, if you don't go ahead and amplify the simcha of the chassan and kala through kind words, you lose out on these kolos. And if ultimately, again, this is so beautiful, if you are misamei chassan and kala, what is your reward? I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi, zacha l'torah, shenitna b'chamisha kolos. We'll say, it's quite amazing. And if you do, go, if you are misamei chassan and kala, then ultimately, are these Bernie and Alan are both not here. So the Gemara says as follows. And if you do go ahead and you are misameach chassan v'kala, so what happens? Zocha l'Torah, that you merit Torah. Shenitna bechamisha kolos, which ultimately again was given with five kolos. Shene'emar v'ahi b'yom ha'shlishi b'yos ha'boker v'ahi kolos u'brokim v'anon kavid al-ahar v'kol shofar v'ahi kolos shofar v'alkim yanenu b'kol. So it's actually quite amazing. So if you make a chassan and kala happy, then what? You're zocha to Torah. You're zocha to Torah. So there's a lot of discussion exactly like what's the relationship over here. So remember again, a chassan and kala, bride and groom, are creating a new home. Right? Every new home in Klal Yisrael intensifies the hashras hashchina, the divine manifestation in this world. So when you go ahead and you help to build that home, or you bolster that home, or you do something that gives them confidence to build that home, ultimately again, you are zocha to a greater manifestation of God yourself. What's the greatest manifestation of God that we have in our personal lives? Ultimately, again, that is Torah. So the Gemara goes on. Imi v'aksiv v'chala amroim is ha-kolos. Aye, but it says, the people saw the kolos. Osan kolos kodin de matan Torah. Those referring ultimately, again, to the kolos before matan Torah. Rabbi Avo amar kilu hikrif toda. Rabbi Avo says that if you're misameach chasan of the kala, it's as if you've brought a carbon toda. Shene emar, mevi'im toda beis Hashem. Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Kilu, Bona Achos Mechurvos Yerushalayim. We'll say this is so beautiful. If you're Misameach Chassan Dekala, it is as if you've gone ahead and rebuilt one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. Shene Emar, Ki Ashiv Es Shavus Ha'aretz Kebarishona Amar Hashem. We'll say, do you hear how beautiful this is? That every single time a Chassan and Kala gets married. So what is that they're both saying? That is a rebuilding of a ruin. Right? Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but every single time we build a new Jewish home, it's as if one part of that ruin has been rebuilt. It's such an incredible way to look at, you know, say sometimes, you know, we go to a chasana and the thing that is most prominent on our mind is I was gonna say, what time is this over? Right? Like what? I guess it depends on how many chasanas you go to. Right? Like really? Like they called the chuppah for 6:30 and it's 11:15 already. What time is this over? I would say, you know, but sometimes you have to take a step back and you have to realize and appreciate what it is that you see unfolding in front of you. See, this is a chasan of art that I'm about to tell you. He's too focused on a seat. It's so good. So sometimes you don't realize what it is that we see unfolding right in front of us, right? And we don't realize that when you see a chassan and kala getting married, in fact, what you're seeing is a rebuilding of part of Yerushalayim, a rebuilding of part of the Beis HaMikdash. Quite amazing. So Gemara goes, "Rabbi Chabal Rami Yehuda, call Adam Sheish Yirah Shamayim Dram Nishmar." Both say an incredible Gemara. Rabbi Chabal says, any person who has within him Yirah Shamayim, reverence of God or fear of God, Dvarav Nishmoim, his words are heard. Shine'emar, Sof Tavar Akol Nishmo, Es Elokim Yirah, Mai Kizak Hala Adam. So we'll say, so remember again, what does this mean? On a simple level, a person who has Yirah Shamayim, I will say, first of all, measures what he says. Some people just always talk. So any person who always talks, people generally tune that kind of person out. Because if you're always talking, it generally means I don't have all that much substance to go ahead and share. But a person who has Yira Shamayim measures his words, is careful with his words. When you're careful and meticulous with your words usually have greater meaning and greater impact. And when your words have greater meaning, greater impact, people listen. So the Gemara says, "My kizek kala adam." What does this mean? This is the entire person. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shmuel, Kadosh Baruch Hu, kol the olam kulo lo nivra ela bishvil ze. They will say, "A person with yira shamayim." Literally, again, the world was built for such a person, created for such a person. Rabbi Abba Bar Kana Amar shakol ze kineged kol olam. A person with yira shamayim, a genuine person. I will say, a genuine person who has a reverence of Hakadosh Baruch Hu and lives a life that reflects that. It is worth it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create an entire world just for this person. Rav Shimon Azai Omer, Rav Shimon Yizoma, called the Olam Kulo Nivra Ela, that Savos Lazeh. That ultimately, again, the entire world was only created to accompany such an individual like this. Quite beautiful. Rav Michal Ba Amar Rav Huna, Kol Shei Debe Chavero, Rav Shimon Azai, so beautiful. Shilhu Ragi Elitein Lo Shalom, Yachtin Lo Shalom. It will say, if you know that your friend normally greets you, go out of your way to greet him first. Shene'emar, Bakesh Shalom V'rat Fehu. Right? Seek out peace and run after it. Such a beautiful idea. I know that my friend normally gives me Shalom first. Right? Go ahead and go and give him Shalom first. V'im Nasan Lo V'lo Hichzer. Also, listen to this. If someone says hello to you and you don't respond, Nikra Gazlon. You're called a thief. Shene'emar, V'atem Bi'artem Akarim. Gazalta ha'ani bevaseichem. Good. So we'll say, so again, the drush over there is, v'atem bi'artem akarim, you literally have destroyed the vineyard. Gazalta ha'ani bevaseichem. Ultimately, you've stolen from the poor person. Rashi points out, and you're allowed to steal from rich people? You can't steal from poor people? So the Gemara, we have Rashi understands that what's the one thing you could steal from a poor person? A person doesn't really have all that much, right? But the one thing you can steal from him is what? Is the greeting. Right, where he greets you and you don't respond to him, you're stealing the response ultimately from him. Top of Zion. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishra Yossi. Minayin Shei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel. We'll say, so beautiful. How do I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We'll say, this I just have to tell you. We're about to see some of the most, I know I say this a lot, so maybe like it arose, but we'll say some of the most magnificent Gemaras you are going to see throughout Shas. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishra Yossi. Minayin Shei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel. How do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens? Shene'emar, v'havi osim al har kodshi, v'simachtim b'veis tefilah si. Tefilah sam lo ne'emar, ela tefilah si. Mikan she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu mispalo. It says, my house of prayer, the house where I pray, tefilah si, my prayer. Which means that what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens. I, my matzli. So now what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu daven? Amar Varzucha Bartovio Amrav, he ratza milafana sheyich beshu rachami es kasi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we'll say, here's the tefillah of the Ribono Shel Olam. It should be my will. This is God speaking to himself, obviously. It should be my will that my rachamim, my compassion, should overcome my anger. My compassion should overcome my anger. This is God talking to himself. V'igolu rachamai al midosai, and allow my compassion ultimately again to overtake all of my attributes. Ve'esnohig im bonai b'midas rachamim, and may I act compassionately with my sons. Ve'akones lahem lifnim mishuras hadin, and may I go above and beyond expectations for them. I will say this is the tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens every single day. And it's a very simple tefillah. It's a tefillah where he ultimately says, allow me to find the strength to be compassionate to my children. Allow me to find the koach, ultimately again, to take care of them, to love them, and to be there for them. Tanya, well, that's an incredible Gemara. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Elisha. Pam achas nichnas lahakdir kitras. Also remember again, Rabbi Shimon ben Elisha was a Kohen Gadol. So there's a discussion over here exactly when this was occurring. It sounds like Pasha Pshat in the Gemara that this was happening on Yom Kippur. But the truth doesn't have to be Yom Kippur because kitras was offered daily. But it sounds like it was Yom Kippur. Also remember, Rabbi Shimon ben Elisha was one of the Asara Haruge Malchus. Right, was one of the 10 martyrs. In fact, different versions of the Gemara, some have him as the first of the Asar Haruge Malchus. So again, which puts him during the times of the Romans. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Pam Achos Nichnasti Lahakir Torah Lefnai V'Lefnim. One time, I went into the, sounds like the Kodesh HaKadosh, in the Holy of Holies, to offer up Kitoros, which was, of course, only done on Yom Kippur. V'ra'isi akasri al ka Hashem tzevakos, shehu yoshev al kisei ram v'nisa. And I saw akasriel. So both say, according to most opinions, akasriel is another name for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So literally, again, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha sees God. He sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. She Yoshiva Kisei Ram V'Nisa. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting on his throne. I both say, now what throne? So remember again, the Ramban in Parshas Truma already discusses that the symbolism of the Aron, of the Ark, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was to resemble a throne. The Ramban goes through each and every utensil of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is supposed to be a palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every utensil represents a different aspect of that palace, and the Aron represents the throne. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says, I went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to give the Ketores, and I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting on his throne. V'amar li, Yishmael b'ni barchini. And ultimately, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Rabbi Shmuel, Yishmael, my son, give me a bracha. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says, Amarti lo, Yiratzon sheyich b'milfanecha sheyich b'shirachamecha es kasecha v'yagolu rachamecha al midosecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I give you the bracha that ultimately, again, literally, your rachamim, your compassion should conquer your anger. Allow your compassion to go ahead and devolve upon all of your character traits, all of your midos. V'tisnaik im banecha b'midas harachamim. Conduct yourself with your children with compassion. V'tikani slahem lifnei mishuras hadin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu go above and beyond for us. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? It's such an incredible Gemara. V'na'an eli barosho. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu nodded his head to me. So the Gemara says, the Kamash Malan, what do we learn from this story? Shelote birchas hedyot kala be'inecha. Also, what we learn from here is, accept the brachos, even of a simple person. Even of a simple person. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking for the bracha of a mortal, right? When he's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I will say again, the bracha of a hedyot, the bracha of a simple person should not be something that is taken lightly in your eyes. V'am Rabbi Yochanan Shem Yossi, Minayin Sheim Ratzel L'Adu B'Shas Kas, also a very good piece of advice. How do you know that you should not try to soothe someone in their moments of anger? I will say, this is a very important yisod, because sometimes when we make someone angry and we realize that we're wrong, so we have an incredible desire to make shalom, But sometimes it's important to understand that just because you're ready to make shalom doesn't mean that the aggrieved party is ready to make shalom. And sometimes you have to give a person a little bit of time to cool down. So how do you know that you shouldn't try to appease someone when they're angry? So we'll say, so again, this is by the Chayta Ego, that's another golden calf. Literally, again, I will remove myself from you. What does this mean? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. God says to Moshe, Hamtein li ad sheyavar parim shel zam, v'aniach lecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, give me a little bit of time to cool down. Right? Give me a little bit of time to calm down, and then I will forgive you. So the Gemara says, Mi ikar ischa kami dikut shabrichu. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu get upset? So the Gemara says, in. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset. Desanya, v'kel elzo im b'chol yom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry every day. V'kama za'amo. How long does God get angry for? Rega. So once I get ready for this. Achos mechameshes rivo shmona salafu mushmona meos ushmona ushmona bisha. 58,888th of every single hour. Right? So I'll say, so for literally again, like a minuscule, less than a second, like a moment of time that is almost difficult to quantify. V'zohi rega, and this is the rega that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry for. Ve'en kol ber yichol l'chavin osasha. And I will say, no one is able to know that exact rega, with one exception. Chutz mi Bilam Arasha. Bilam, interestingly enough, knew the rega that God got angry. D'chsiv be, v'yodea das elyom. Bilam knew, literally, yodea das elyom means, he knew the day, he knew the das, he knew the knowledge of God. So the Gemara says, come on. Hashta das behemto lo havayada, das elyon havayada. Bilam couldn't handle his donkey, right? He couldn't handle his donkey. But Lamaisa ain't going to tell me that he knew God? He couldn't handle his, he didn't know his donkey, but he knew God? Second of the widest lines. Rather, again, Bilam knew the Chavin Osa Shah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koisba. Ultimately, Bilam knew the exact moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry. V'hainu da'amar lohu, navi li Yisrael. And Abba said, this is what the Navi, this is what Micha the Navi said to Klal Yisrael. Ami, zicharna mayatz balak melech Moav. My leman das tzidkos, am Rebbe Lazar, am leman kadosh baruch hu Yisrael, du'u, kamat tzidkos asisi imachem. Shelo ka'asti bimei bilam harasha. Shelo malei ka'asti lo nishtayim yisrael shel Yisrael sari dupalit. So Abba said, ultimately again, that the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, is that during those days when Bilam was trying to curse us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu what?
Didn't get angry.
That was the chesed. I didn't get angry all of those days, because had I gotten angry during those days, then what? Then ultimately, again, Bilam would have been successful in cursing you. Had I gotten angry, there would have been nothing left to Klal Yisrael. And I will say, this is what Bilam was saying to Balak. I don't know what you want from me, meaning it's not my fault. I thought I was able to do this, but what can I do? I can't curse if God doesn't get angry. So all of those days that Bilam was trying to curse Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously not getting angry, which teaches you an incredible, incredible yisod. You know, the Rambam in Hilchos Deo says that a person has to have the right composite or synthesis of midos. But there are certain midos, the Rambam says, which a person just has to totally eradicate because they're detrimental and destructive. Amongst those midos, says the Rambam, is anger, kas. Kas, the Rambam says, there's no place for kas. There's no place. There's a concept of kanos, of zealotry, but there's no place for kas in the heart or in the mind of a Jew. So says the Rambam, so what happens if I'm struggling with kas? I'm struggling with anger. So I have an anger management issue. So the Rambam says, so what's the answer? Stop getting angry. That's like I could have been around them, right? Stop getting angry. And also, you understand the godless in that? The godless in that is you control your temperament. You control your temperament. When you lose your temper, that's not someone. Somebody might be provoking you. But the choice to get angry and the choice to lose it is yours and yours alone. So the Rambam says, you have a problem with kas. It's very simple. Very simple. Stop getting angry. Rabbi said, where do we learn this from? This Gemara. Kadosh Baruch Hu also gets angry. Except when? When he chooses not to. Right? And when Kadosh Baruch Hu chooses not to, he reigns in his temper, he reigns in his kas, and he does not get angry. An incredible musar about the ability to control our temperament and the ability to control how we act and react. How long is this moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how long does his anger last? For a rega. Well, rega, like we said before, kama rega. We'll say, how long is rega? Rega kememra. So we'll say, this opinion says, rega means literally the amount of time it takes to say rega. Okay, so that seems to be a little bit longer than the previous. Umenalon the rega resach. How do we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu only gets angry for a rega? Shneimar ki rega biapo chayim birtzono. Because the pasuk says there's a rega when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry. V'ibay seim hacha chavi kimat rega ad ya'avar zam. Abba say a beautiful pasuk in Yeshayo, right? Lechami bo b'chadarecha. The Navi says to Klal Yisrael, my nation, go into your room. Usigar dalascha ba'adecha. Close the door. Chavi kimat rega. Hide yourself for a moment until HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrath passes. Chavi kimat rega. Ayde avor zam. Ve'emas resach. And ultimately, again, what time of day? Suppose say, now we've established that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry for a rega. The shaila is ultimately, again, when is that rega? But we're assuming now, we'll say, God is very organized, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very organized. So as such, even his kas has a certain time of the day. So when does the Kadosh Baruch Hu get upset? In the first 3 hours, the early 3 hours of the day, ki chiyura karbalta de tarnagola v'kai achad kara. So I will say, so when is it? You could tell it's the time of the day when like the feathers of the rooster become white. The feathers of the rooster become white and the rooster stands on one leg. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Kol shaita v'shaiti nama kayachi," but there are roosters that have white feathers all of the time. To which the Gemara says, "Kol shaita ispe shuraiki sumki bahi shaita lespe shuraiki sumki." At all the times of the day, if you look carefully, there's usually some type of red streaks in the feathers of the rooster. But there's a certain time of day where ultimately, again, the feathers of the rooster appear totally white. And these are the early 3 hours of the day. So I'm supposed to listen to this. How incredible story. So I'll say there was a tztuki who lived in the city of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Havakamitsar Lituva Bikroi. And the man, Rabbi, remember again, Atzduki is someone who ultimately, again, does not believe in Tarash Baal Peh, right? And the Tzdukim in general promoted a corrupted form of Judaism. So he was constantly antagonizing Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, constantly antagonizing him, theologically antagonizing him. But this is actually quite amazing. Then one day, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had enough. So what does he do? Shakal Tarnagola v'ukme bin kari da'arsa v'ayin be. He took a rooster, tied it to his bed. This was before Peter, right? Tied it to his bed. Right? To say what happened, and what was he going to do? He was going to sit there and look at the rooster. And when what happened? And when the feathers were turned white, what was he going to do? Va'ayimba savar kimati shaita alatye. He decided, you know what? When the feathers turn white, that's the time of divine wrath. I'm going to curse this guy. I'm done with him, right? I'm done with him. But say, obviously, it must have been that he wasn't just anointed Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, but obviously Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi felt that he posed a significant risk and problem to the community. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, enough. I'm going to curse this guy. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu take care of him. Mm-hmm. But say, this is incredible. You can imagine the scene. So he's up during the night, looking in this, right? Staring at the rooster. Kimata Yishaita, when that moment came, of divine wrath, Naim. He fell asleep. Amar Shmamina Lav Orach Arulame Abarachi. So ultimately, again, he said, what? So you see from here that what? Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to do this, right? This is not the right derech. It's not the right derech to curse people to die. So the Gemara says, why? Because he said, Rachamov Al Kol Ma'asov. Kadosh Baruch Hu has Rachamim on everyone. Even on the tzedukim, right? Even on the people, ultimately, again, it may be exceptionally problematic. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not want us cursing one another and killing one another. Ksiv, gam anosh letzadik lo tov. It's not even good for the tzadik when the wicked is punished. Tanu mishved Rabbi Meir, b'sha shecham azorachas, v'chol malchim yizr chomarev manichim kisrem b'rashem mishtachavim lechama. At the time when the sun rises, and all of the kings put on their crowns and bow down to the sun. Sun worship was a big thing. So when Kadosh Baruch Hu sees that all of the monarchs put on their sun and bow down to the sun, Miyad Kois Chodesh Baruch. Rebbe Shalom is very upset. He's very upset. Rebbe Shalom, of course, is upset because the sun is one of his creations, and the notion that so much of humanity has taken to worshiping the creations and has forgotten about HaKadosh Baruch Hu angers the Ribbon Shalom. Rebbe Yochum Rishon Yossi, Tova Mardus Achas Belibo Shal Adam Yoser Mekama Malkios. So this is actually very interesting. Look at Rashi. Mardus Achos, it's in the third line from the top of Rashi. Lashon Ridui V'Hachna Sha'adam Sam Alibo Me'elov. So this is actually quite incredible. One moment of introspection, and one moment ultimately, again, of going ahead and humbling one's self in the face of one's weaknesses and failures is so much better. Yoser mekama malkios is so much more effective, ultimately, again, than lashes. Shene emar, v'radfa es ma'aveh, v'amra elcha v'ashuva elishi arishon, ki tov li az mi'ata. Reish Lakish amar, yoser mimea malkios. Reish Lakish says it's better even than 100 lashes. Shene emar, tachos gara v'mevin ma'akos ksilmea. So this is actually a very profound gemara. The idea being that the goal in life is, to be honest with who we are. You know, when a person received malchus, when a person received lashes, you had no choice but to be honest with who you are. Why? Why? Because the whip was coming down on your back. So it's pretty clear that ultimately, again, you did something wrong and your life had gone in a wrong direction. What Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here is, it's so much better to be self-aware and to be honest about what I am and what I'm not on my own without it having to be imposed on me. Sometimes we're scared to introspect. Because if I introspect and I take a real look at myself, I'm going to find stuff that's broken. I'm going to find stuff that's in a state of disrepair. But the Gemara is saying, don't be afraid. Because if you find something that's broken, it's okay. All you need to do is what? Begin the process to fix it. But so much better to find these things on your own than to be made aware of them because of external circumstances. Quite incredible. Another incredible Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu had three requests of God, and God granted them. Moshe asked that the Shechina reside on the Jewish people, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him. Moshe requested that God not rest his presence on the idolaters. Now, what does this mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of all nations, right? Whether people worship him or not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still his nation. So the Marashah understands that what this means when Moshe says, don't rest your presence on the nations of the world, that ultimately, or the Ovdei Chum, the idolaters, what this was saying was, Kadosh Baruch Hu was asking, God, Moshe was asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, allow us to have a unique and singular relationship with you that the rest of the nations do not enjoy. So first ask was, let us have a relationship. Second request was, let us have a unique relationship. Here comes the amazing one. Moshe asked God, allow me to understand how you run the world. Right? Allow me, show me the way you run the world. Explain it to me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay. Moshe says to God, show me your ways. Show me your ways means, I want to understand how you run the world. So we'll say, meaning what? We'll say, here we go. Moshe doesn't waste any time, right? He starts right with the big ones. Hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tell me, why is it that there are some righteous people who have a good life and some righteous people who have a terrible life? There are wicked people who have good lives. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? Why does the world sometimes look so incredibly random? Amar lo, Moshe. I'll tell you why. Tzadik v'tov lo, tzadik ben tzadik. If a tzadik has a good life, ultimately, again, that's a tzadik ben tzadik. Tzadik, the son of a tzadik. Tzadik v'ra lo, tzadik ben rasha. But if he has a difficult life, that's a tzadik who's the son of a rasha. Rasha v'tov lo. If he is a Rasha, but he has a good life, Rasha ben Tzadik, then again he has the merit of his forefathers. He's a Rasha ben Tzadik. Rasha v'ralo, Rasha ben Rasha. That means he's this Rasha, the son of a Rasha. Okay, but also we're not finished with this. Amar Mar, Tzadik v'tovlo, Tzadik ben Tzadik. Tzadik v'ralo, Tzadik ben Rasha. Is that true? Ini v'aksiv, poket avon avos abanim. On one hand, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu visits the iniquities of the fathers on the sons, which sounds like the children are responsible for the actions of the parents. Uksiv, urbanam lo yumsu alavos. But then it says, children do not die for the sins of their fathers. V'raminan kraya adadiu mishanina. Rabbo says, so it's a contradiction. Which one is it? Lo kasha. Hakisha oksin m'masi avosem b'yadeyim. Hakisha in oksin m'masi avosem b'yadeyim. Rabbo says, if the fathers did bad things, and the children perpetuated those ways, then the children are held responsible for their actions and the actions of their fathers. But if the fathers did bad things, but the children decided a different life for themselves, then the children are not held responsible ultimately again for the sins of the fathers. Elohachi kamerlis. Rather, this is what God responded to Moshe. Tzadik v'tovlo, tzadik gomer. If it's right, tzadik, if tzadik has a good life, that's a tzadik gomer. Right? We'll say complete tzadik, a genuine tzadik. Tzadik v'ralo, tzadik she'ino gomer. We'll say tzadik v'ralo, tzadik who has a difficult life, that's an incomplete tzadik. Still a tzadik, right? You're still in the tzadik camp, but not gomer. You're not the complete tzadik. Rasha v'tovlo, rasha she'ino gomer, rasha who has a good life. Ultimately, again, that's a person who's a rasha, but not a total rasha. Rasha v'ralo, rasha gomer. Rasha in a bad life. Ultimately, again, that's a Rasha Gummer. Now, both say, now watch this. Upligid Rab Meir. We're both saying all of this argues on Rab Meir, because Rab Meir has a dramatically different approach. What does Rab Meir say? Shtayim nasnalo, va'achas lo nasnalo. Rab Meir says, God only acquiesced to two of Moshe's requests. Moshe, you want my presence to reside on the Jewish people? Done. You want me to have a singular relationship ultimately with the Jewish people? Done. You want to know how I run the world? No. No, Shene Amar, Vechanosi es Asher Achon, Afa Pi Sheino Hogun, Verichampi es Asher Arachim, Afa Pi Sheino Hogun. Vayomer, Losucha Liros es Panai. Ultimately, again, I will say, before we get to Apostolic, so according to Rabbi Meir says that what? Because when Moshe wants to understand how God runs the world, and Akhlaq Baruch Hu says, I'm sorry, I'll give you anything else you want, but to understand how I run the world, Tzadik V'ralo, Tzadik V'tovlo, Rasha V'ralo, Rasha V'tovlo, that's beyond even your level, Moshe Rabbeinu, of comprehension that is reserved for me and me alone. Sigmar goes on. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Moshe, I can't allow you to see my face. This is what God said to Moshe. So this is incredible. Because Rabbeinu says to Moshe, you know, when I wanted to show you my face, you didn't want to see. What is that a reference to? To the snap by the burning bush. Now that you want to see my face, I say no. What does this mean? So the idea, according to this approach, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Moshe, I gave you an opportunity to see my countenance. You didn't want to take it. That opportunity was offered once. Now that you want it, I'm sorry you didn't take it before, but that opportunity, so we'll say the incredible metaphor, the incredible message, being that, you know, opportunities come in life. And if you take them when they present themselves, great. But if you don't take them, assuming that they'll be there at a later date, often they're not there. Pligid Rav Shomar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Rav Shomar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Bishar Shalosh, Zachal Shalosh. So we'll say there's a different opinion of this. The other opinion says the fact that Moshe didn't want to look at the Sneh was actually a merit. So the Gemara says, "Bischar vayaster Moshe panav." Since Moshe shielded his face at the snare, so zocha lekluster upon him. He was given a radiant countenance. Bischar kiyare kiyare, because he was scared to look. Zocha levayiru migesha seilav. People were scared to look upon Moshe because of his luminescent radiance. Bischar mehabit, because he was scared to look. Zocha letmunas Hashem yabit. He was able to see Hakadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. Vasirosi es kapivra isi es achorai. So God says to Moshe, I will remove my hand and you could see my back. Amrav Chana Bar Bizna, Amrav Shimon Chasida, Melamit Shere HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Kesher Shal Tefillin. But this is beautiful, that whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, you cannot see my face, so ultimately what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Moshe to see the back knot of his shel rosh. Going back to yesterday's Gemara, that the Rebbe Shalom wears tefillin. Now, obviously, there's much symbolism and metaphoric understanding to all of this. Rabbi Yochanan says, anything that God says that is for good, even if it was conditional, always comes to fruition. God never retracts. Minalon, where do we know this? From Moshe. Moshe Shenemar, Heref Menu Vashmidein, Veschal Ose Oschal Legoy Otsum. So what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Let me destroy the Jewish people in the aftermath of sin, and I will make you into a great nation. Even though Moshe was successful in lobbying God, getting him to forgive Klal Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentioned making Moshe's descendants great, that bracha still came to fruition. What I'm saying is, whenever God mentions a blessing, that blessing always comes to be. Where do we see that by Moshe Rabbeinu? Shene Amar b'nei Moshe Gershon v'Eliezer v'ayu b'nei Eliezer Rechavia Harosh u'b'nei Rechavia Rabu Lamala Tani Rabbi Yosef Lamala Mishishim Revo Asya Rav Yaravio Ksiv Hacha Rabu Lamala Ksiv Hasam u'b'nei Yisrael Paro v'Yishrit Shuva Yirbu. So we'll say, ultimately again, the pasuk when speaking about the descendants of Gershom and Eliezer speaks about a man by the name of Rechavia Harosh, this man named Rechavia, who became the head, and the descendants of Rechavia, the Gemara says, were as numerous as the number of Jews who left Egypt. Quite amazing. Amid Beis. Am Rabbi Yochanan Yerushalayim Shalom Yochai. That was incredible. Incredible. Miyom Shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asa Olam, Lo Haya Adam Shekar La HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon, Ad Sheba Avram Vekaru Adam, Shene Amar, Vayomer, Vayomer Hashem, Ma Ida Ki Rashena. But say, from the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there was no one who called God Adon, no one who called God the Master until Avram Avinu. So what says, we're going to see different people related to God in different ways. The way Avram related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, most interestingly enough, was not per se as a father, not like as an Av, right? Not as a king, but rather as a ruler of the universe. Remember again, this goes back to the Medrash that says, how does Avram Avinu find God? By looking at the universe, by looking at the world, and seeing so much going on and saying it's impossible that this world runs without a master. So Avram Avinu's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Adon, master. He was the first one to call God Adon. Next, Amrav, Af Daniel lo na'ana ela b'shul Avram. Even Daniel was only, right, Daniel, the right, the Navi, was only answered in the S'chus of Avram Avinu, Shene'emar, V'yata Shema Elokinu el Tfilas Avdecho, V'yel Tachanunov, V'er Panacha al Mikdash Hashemim Laman Hashem. So the Gemara says, Laman Adonai, Laman Chomi Boile. It should say, Laman Chof, for your sake, God. Rather, what does it mean? Ela Laman Avram Shekaracha Adon. Rather, again, Laman Adonai means in the merit of the one who called you Adon first. Saving Daniel is saved in the merit of Avram Avinu. Bam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shammai Yochai. So said the Gemara restates this concept again. How do I know that I shouldn't try to calm a person when they're angry? Because even HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, ultimately, again, let me walk away a little bit, let me distance myself a little bit, and what? Then I will forgive you. Sometimes people need a little bit of space before forgiveness can be granted. Quite incredible. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mishurim Shem Bayochai, here get ready for this. Yom Shabbat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asalamo, Lo Haya Adam Shahodela HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ad Shebas Saleh V'Hodasa. We'll say a dramatic Gemara. From the time that the world was created, no one gave thanks to God. No one said, thank you. to HaKadosh Baruch Hu until Leah Imenu came along. Shene Emar HaPam Ode Es Hashem. By the birth of Yehuda, her fourth son, she said, this time I will give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos say, Rav Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Livracha says, what does that mean? No one gave thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately again until Leah. Noach didn't say thank you when he got off the Teva. Avraham Avinu didn't say thank you when he was saved from the fire furnace of the Kivshan Ha'ish. No one said thank you until Leah. To which Rav Schwab says so beautifully, people gave thank you, but they usually gave thank you to God for the miraculous events of life. Leah was the first one to say thank you for the common day-to-day events. In other words, the godless of Leah Imenu was the ability to see the hand of God in the ordinary events of day-to-day life and to recognize that the ordinary events of day-to-day life are no less miraculous than the supernatural. It's like we say in Modim every day, Va'al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. Thank you, Hashem, for the miracles that are with me every single day. That was the greatness of Leah Imenu. So now the Gemara goes through some of the names of the Shadron. Reuven, Amr Leah. So we'll say, why was he named Reuven? So Rav Loza says, Leah said the following, Reuma Bein Bini Lebein Chami. See the difference between my son and the son of my father-in-law. This is a reference to Esav. See the difference between my son and Esav. Deilu ben chami avagav demidai teizad lebichirusei dichsev vayim karas b'choras al Yaakov. Even though Esav willingly sold his birthright to his younger brother Yaakov, chazumak sidbe. What happens afterwards? Vayistom Esav es Yaakov uksev vayomer halchi kray shmo Yaakov vayakzini pamayim. Right? Esav willingly sold his birthright. Yet what? He made himself out to be the victim. Right? He made himself to be like it was stolen from him. In other words, he was so ungracious. He sold it. And yet he made himself out as if it was a victim of theft. Vila bini, yet my son Reuven, afagav dal karche shakli. We'll say Reuven was the bachar. But yet we know that the birthright was really taken from him. Afagav dal karche shakli Yosef libichi rusemine. Dechsev ubichalolo yitzui aviv. Nasna bichoroso libne Yosef. Afilu hachilo aknebe dichsiv vayishma Reuven vatsileo miadam. But even though, again, the birthright was taken from Reuven against his will and was given to Yosef against Reuven's will, nevertheless, Reuven did not begrudge Yosef. And in fact, remember again, when the other brothers were ready to kill Yosef, Reuven was the one ultimately again who saved him. Rus, so Gemara speaking about names now. Rus, what's the meaning of Rus? My Rus, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Shezacha. Where does that name come from? Where does that name come from? So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, first, the widest line, Zayin on the base. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Shezach Sabyotzim and David, Sheriva Lakadish Baruch Bishiros and Sheshbachos. Because she had a descendant named David, and David ultimately, Rivahu, literally means saturate, good, to saturate, right, to go ahead and saturate, ultimately, again, so Rava means to be filled with, so she had a descendant who would fill the world with Shiro, saturate the world with Shiro Shatishbach. So I'll say, so amazingly enough, Rus's name reflects the greatest of her descendants, David. Menolon Dishmagar. I'm supposed to say, what do you see from here? You see from here that a person's name captures their essence. Right? I remember again, Rus's name was given to her, whether that was her Moabite name or that was her Hebrew name when she converted. But Bepashtos, interestingly enough, that name reflects her destiny to be the mother of David HaMelech. Some of those Damakra, where do we know this? Where do we know that a name reflects your essence? Damakra luchu chazum mifalos Hashem asher sham. Here the lashon of the pasuk is asher sham asher sham shamos baretz. Now it's literally again shamos baretz means desolation in the world. The Gemara is making a play on words asher sham shamos baretz. That ultimately again your name ultimately reflects your destiny. So both, you know, there's in a beautiful Arizal. The Arizal says that when parents name a child, they are given a degree of Ruach HaKodesh, right? They're given a degree of prophetic spirit to know what to name a child. Because we'll say, think about this just a moment, right? You have to give a name to your child that captures their essence. But yet you only know them for a very small amount of time. Right? So how are you supposed to give them a name that's going to capture their essence? To which the Ari HaKadosh says that ultimately, again, the parents are given a degree of Ruach HaKodesh. That's why I could give my child the name that they need in order to go ahead and capture their destiny. Quite incredible. But this is an incredible Gemara. So we'll say Tarbosra means a difficult child. A difficult child. Having a difficult child in one's home, right, is ultimately, again, is ultimately as difficult, is incredible, is worse than Gog Magog. Right, so I'll say, so again, so having a difficult child in the home is more difficult than the war of Gog Magog. Shnei Amar, Mizmor LeDavid Bavarcho Mifnei Avshalom Beno. David HaMelech sings a song, right, when he's speaking about his flight from Avshalom. Remember again, Avshalom is the son who rebelled against David, and literally David chose not to fight against Avshalom. So he fled. He fled. He fled rather than fight. Ksibasrei, Hashem marabut sarai, rabim kamim alai. David HaMelech Baruch Hu, see how much my suffering is. So many rise up against me. This is a reference to the rebellion of his own son. So we'll say, isn't this incredible? In the capital that speaks about a rebellious son, so David HaMelech says, marabut sarai, how great my suffering is. But yet, when it comes to the war of Gog Magog, Rabosei, which you know is the ultimate showdown between good and evil, David HaMelech doesn't use that phrase. To which the Gemara says, because having. Now, Tarbosra really means a bad child. It's, and like never like saying those words, bad child. There's no one who's bad. There's just people who do bad things. Right? So we'll say, but the idea is having a difficult child, a rebellious child in the home, could be as turbulent for the home, more turbulent than the actual war of Gog Magog. So we'll say, the Gemara now goes on with Avshalom. Mizmor David Varchom Avshalom Beno. Mizmor David Kimil David Meboile. They both say, this is incredibly dramatic. David HaMelech begins the capital that speaks about the rebellion of Avshalom as Mizmor David, a song of David when Avshalom rebelled. Why is it a song of David? Shouldn't be a song of David when Avshalom rebelled. What should it be? Kina la David, a lamentation. David, my own son rebelled against me, David HaMelech says. That's not a song. That's a dirge. That's a lamentation. Rabbi said, this is incredible. Amar Rav Shimon, Ben Avishalom, Mashalom Av David Dona. Rabbi said, listen to this. What could it be compared to? La Adam Shiyat Alav Shtarchov. Rabbi said, if a person has a debt, he has to pay. Kodem Shepero Haya Atsev. We'll say, before you pay your debt, you're sad. La'achar shepro sameach. After you pay your debt, you're happy. I was supposed to say, listen to this. You know, when you have something hanging over you, for many of us, that's a very overwhelming feeling. When you actually get to pay the debt, even though I might have less money, or I might have no money, I'm very happy that the debt is paid. Says the Gemara something amazing. Afkan, David, remember again, in the aftermath of the episode with Bathsheba, David HaMelech has told that there are going to be multiple levels of punishment. One of the punishments was that someone from your household was going to rebel against you. David never knew who is going to lead the internal rebellion. Who's going to rebel against me? Maybe it's going to be one of my servants, or maybe it's going to be a mamzer who won't have compassion on me. When David saw that it was his own flesh and blood who rebelled, I must say it sounds amazing. He was happy. Now at least I know, I've paid the debt. I know who's going to rebel against me. It's my own son. And as much as my own son is going to mistreat me, I know that there will be a cap to his cruelty, right? I know that there will be a cap to the cruelty that my own flesh and blood can visit upon me. And therefore, David HaMelech says, Mizmor David, Shabbosai tells us something absolutely amazing. It tells us that even in the midst of adversity, you have to look for the positive. You have to look for the tov. Remember, when Avshalom rebels, Shabbosai, it pretty much doesn't really get all that much worse than that. Right, it's Jew killing Jew. It's son rising up against father. Yet in the midst of all of this adversity, David HaMelech sees a silver lining. At least it's Avshalom and not a mamzer. Right? At least it's Avshalom and not an Eved. At least it's someone who I believe will have some shred of compassion. Always look for the ray of light, even in the darkest of times. We'll say one more line. Moshe, the Gemara says, You could start up with the wicked in this world. As Shene Emar, Oz Veitori Halulu Rasha, Veshomre Tori Yiskarubam. Tayanami Hachir Abdostev and Rasan Omer, Mutra Liskaz Rasham Alazar. In other words, what this is talking about over here is the ability to start up with the Rasham. In other words, you don't have to back down in front of the wicked, but rather, again, stand your ground and you could contend with the wicked. So the Shene Emar, Oz Veitori Halulu Rasha, Vimlachshecha Adam Lomar Vahaksiv Al Tiskar Bemereim. And if someone whispers in your ear and says, you know what, you shouldn't really contend with the wicked, don't get involved in the transgressors. So the Gemara says, Omer lo. So the Gemara says, Omer lo mishalibo nokva. When somebody says that to you, that's generally because they have a guilty conscience. Right? If someone's telling you not to start up with the wicked, it's probably because they're wicked themselves. The Gemara says, Ela. So the Gemara says, Ela al tischa b'mereim lios kimereim. So what it means when it says don't contend with the wicked, it means don't be like the wicked. Al tekan be'ose avla, lios ka'ose avla. Va'omer al yikana lipcha b'chatoim, kim b'yiras Hashem kol ayom. So we'll say, so this idea that the Gemara is espousing over here is this notion that, again, one is permitted to take a stand against the wicked. One doesn't always have to back down. But there's the concept that at some point in time, good has to draw its line in the sand and say no more. It's not live and let live for everything. You have to be wise in terms of when you take a stand, but there absolutely is the time to take a stand. I will say one more line, then we'll stop. Ini, is that so? V'am Rabbi Yitzchak, Im Ra'isa Rasha Sha'asham Mishacheges Lo, Al Tiskara Bo Shne'emar, Yachilu Drachav B'choleis. So we'll say, we'll stop over here actually. We're going to stop over. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this Gemara tomorrow. Again, we're going to see that there are times when you take a stand against the wicked, times you don't take a stand. Rabosai, I just want to take a moment just to say an incredible Yashar Koach. There are a number of you who are here for this new cycle of Daf Yomi, and I want to wish you a Mazel Tov on successfully completing your first week back in the Daf. For the veterans, I give you a Mazel Tov as well. Mazel Tov for completing your first week in this new cycle of Shas. I will say our job is to keep this odorous going. It's been beautiful, it's been magnificent, it's been wonderful. It's carried into Shabbos, carried into the next week. Also, just an announcement. Normally, I put this out on the WhatsApp yesterday. We normally do a Parashat Shavuot on Friday. Impossible. Absolutely impossible. I'm not going to get through the dot. But we did. It was posted last night on both chats. I'll say good night of Shabbos. Shabbos afternoon, daf will be in the afternoon. I'll put out the time on the chat.